KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. Weasels and liars never hold the field. That's from former FBI Director James Comey responding to the anticipated release of a controversial memo written by California GOP Congressman Devin Nunes. We expect that memo to come out today, and it reportedly shows that the FBI unfairly targeted a member of Donald Trump's presidential campaign during the 2016 campaign. The accuracy of the memo is disputed by the FBI and Los Angeles Congressman Adam Schiff. Schiff is also on the Intelligence Committee along with Chairman Nunes, and he joins us now to talk about potential compromises to national security. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
What are the concerns about national security? We've heard a lot about that the past 24 hours. What specific concerns do you have?
Well, in terms of the release of the memo, my primary concern is that this is a politicization of the intelligence process. It's cherry-picking certain information to disclose, concealing other classified information with the design of misleading the public.
I was speaking to a supporter of President Trump last night, and he said, wait a minute, this isn't fair. President Trump wants information to be released that could show that he was targeted at a very early stage unfairly, and that the FBI essentially acted as a political arm for the Democratic Party.
Well, the president really doesn't want the full picture to emerge. Rather, he wants to selectively release information. This is what the chairman has proposed, to paint a distorted picture of the FBI. And, of course, the long-term purpose of this is to undermine the Russia investigation.
So you're essentially saying that your GOP colleagues are pushing ahead with this memo in essence because they're scared of the fuller picture.
I think that what my GOP colleagues on the Hill are worried about is as this investigation moves closer and closer to the president in terms of Bob Mueller's work, that if it brings him down, it could cost them their majorities in Congress. And so this is an effort to protect the president, but it's also an effort to try to protect themselves.
James Comey tweeting out yesterday about weasels. Is that helpful to what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, what James Comey said is basically that what has really served the country well is when people stand up and speak out, and he was applauding Director Wray for having the courage to confront this president. And I think Director Comey is right about that. In terms of liars and weasels, that's a different language than I would use, but I do think that this whole chapter brings shame on people in Congress who won't defend the institutions of government, won't stand up for checks and balances, and are allowing themselves to wilt in the face of this very flawed president. And I do think they're going to have a lot to answer for from history.
Congressman Adam Schiff joining us by phone. Congressman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we did reach out to Congressman Devin Nunes. We have not heard back from him. Moving on, investigators still don't know how or why a 12-year-old girl brought a gun to school. What they do know is that several Los Angeles teenagers, including one who is critically injured, are recovering after the school shooting at a Westlake middle school yesterday. There were no fatalities. We're going to follow up now on a story we told you about earlier this week. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has access to a huge database of license plate information. This information is stored by a company called Vigilant Solutions. And basically, what the company does is put a bunch of cameras on cars, drive those cars around, and collect images of license plates. The data is then stored on a server, which can be searched. Meaning, if you wanted to find out where I live, you could just type in my license plate information and it will tell you where I park my car every night. ICE is using this technology to get around the sanctuary state law, but it's not just ICE. According to Dave Moss, domestic abusers can get access to this database to find their former partners, despite state laws which have been enacted to protect the victims of domestic abuse. Moss is an investigative researcher with the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
So, for one, there are some agencies that will actually hand you their license plate reader databases. So, Oakland handed their entire database to Ars Technica. Nothing stopping a domestic abuser from getting that data and stalking their ex. There is nothing stopping a domestic abuser from finding a buddy who works for a tow truck company and getting access that way. There are some companies out there that say that they will sell data to law firms, private investigators. So, if you're a domestic abuser and you just wanted to hire a private investigator to look in this database, database for you, that is certainly an opportunity for further abuse of our information. And we have been reaching out to domestic violence groups to really explain the risk here. You have in California these safe at home programs.
I mean, this is unacceptable. This is not a partisan issue. Like the idea, regardless of whether, you know, law enforcement, that's a Fourth Amendment debate. We want to have that on the show. But the idea that a domestic abuser can have access to this data, and it's really this easy. I mean, I'm finding that hard to believe.
I mean, it's hard for people to get their minds around the fact that these databases are getting bigger and bigger each year. Vigilant Solutions says it has 6.5 billion data points. Now that they're getting this giant contract from ICE, you're going to see them putting more cars on the road to collect even more data. But, you know, in California, we have these safe at home programs that are designed to protect domestic abuse.
And that's what this does, is it finds a loophole to that.
Right, exactly. So maybe the police department can't hand over your address, or DMV can't hand over your address, but if they can sell where your car has been parked at night 15 times over the last two months, that's as good as the same information. And when it comes to immigrants and ICE, under the new law, the new sanctuary state law, law enforcement is not supposed to hand over your work address or your home address, but they can hand over the GPS coordinates of where you park your car from 9 to 5 every day. Mm. And that's exactly the same information.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and thank you for covering this issue.
Legislative staffers at the state capitol are one step closer to having whistleblower protections. The state Senate passed a measure yesterday that prohibits retaliation against employees who report lawmakers or coworkers for breaking state law or violating legislative codes of conduct. Senator Gene Fuller says the bill will help stop sexual harassment in Sacramento.
Adding whistleblower protection for legislative employees is the first step to changing the culture of this institution and the way we think about the rights of others in the workplace.
For the last 4 years, the state assembly has overwhelmingly passed versions of the bill, only to have it die in the Senate. The assembly must take a final vote on the measure before it can be sent to the governor. Well, speaking of the governorship, there will be a new one next year, and we know that Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom is just crushing it when it comes to fundraising. Newsom is the frontrunner, according to the polls, followed by former L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Both stopped by KQED yesterday to make their pitch to voters. Here's KQED's Katie Orr.
Money-wise, Newsom is well ahead of his competitors, with more than $19 million available to spend. And in a crowded field, he's doubling down on some progressive messages to make himself stand out. For instance, Newsom supports creating a government-run single-payer healthcare system in California.
By creating a single-payer financing system, we have the leverage to negotiate better drug prices, the leverage of bulk purchasing to figure out ways to provide quality care to those that are uninsured, to improve the pool of sick versus healthy.
Newsom says he'd also prioritize tackling childhood poverty in California. That's an issue Villaraigosa wants to take on, too. He says California can't consider itself truly progressive without addressing its poverty and income inequality problems. He sees a link between that and building the controversial high-speed rail project.
It connects the two economic engines of California, the North and the South, with the one area in the state that doesn't have a diverse economy, that has affordable housing, the Central Valley.
Villaraigosa does say he'd look at how to control the project's cost, which recently jumped up by nearly $3 billion. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And CCRM, a national fertility treatment clinic now open in the Bay Area. CCRM San Francisco helps build families. CCRMIVF.com/San Francisco.
CPR. First aid. These are important trainings you need to help people in a medical emergency, like when someone passes out on a bus. But what if that emergency is a mass shooting, like what happened in Las Vegas or San Bernardino? Here's KQED's Laura Clivens.
Nurse practitioner Tina Kwan clicks through a gory slideshow with images of wounds and squirting blood.
What else could you use instead of a tourniquet?
This is a training called Stop the Bleed at Oakland's Highland Hospital.
A belt, perfect. Shoestrings, yeah.
Kwan explains to her 25 trainees how to use tourniquets correctly and apply pressure to serious wounds.
Especially with all these mass casualties, that there were a lot of people that had extremity injuries who could have had their lives saved or had their limbs saved by having a tourniquet placed.
The American College of Surgeons pushed for trainings like these after the Sandy Hook massacre in 2012. Not just for medical staff, for bystanders too, people at a disaster scene before ambulances arrive. Kevin Grant is often one of those people. He hasn't witnessed a mass shooting, but the individual homicides he's seen really add up.
But Oakland has a steady drumbeat of violence that will match the Vegas shooting in a year.
Grant works with the city to reduce violence. When there's a shooting, he often races to the scene. Like one time in East Oakland, when he knelt on the pavement next to a young man who was shot in the legs.
One of the last things he said to me is, Kev, don't let me die. Don't let me die. And I said, I got you. I got you. Stay woke. Stay woke. I didn't have training on that.
That young man survived. But Grant knows many others who haven't. After today's training, Grant feels like there's more he can do to save someone, not just comfort them. For the California Report, I'm Laura Clivens in Oakland.
Let's stay talking about health. We told you earlier this week about the ease that the synthetic opioid fentanyl is coming into the country. According to a recent congressional report, most of the highly potent synthetic opioid is coming from China. Manufacturers there are sending it through the U.S. Post Office, meaning federal workers are literally delivering death around the country, including here in California. Well, this week we got a visualization of what that is doing to our young people. The National Institute of Healthcare Management put out an infographic showing there are 4.6 overdose deaths per day. The vast majority of those people between 25 and 34 years old. The vast majority of those from fentanyl use. You can see these sobering statistics in this infographic by going to our Twitter feed. We're at CalReportTweets. And that's the California Report for Friday, February 2nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Katie McMurrin, with help from Howard Gelman and Seal Muller. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great weekend.